Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your hosts E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham. Hello there, and welcome to the premiere episode of Straight Outta Gotham. It's a podcast that's got a DC slant with a New York flavor. I am one of your hosts, Eric Holzman, along with my co-host, Peter Vera. Pete, what's up, man?
Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm really pumped for this. We've been trying to get this thing off the ground for a while, a little over a year, I feel like. And it's exciting to actually do it. It sucks that it has to be in the middle of a pandemic, but at least we finally got the time to do it.
That's exactly what this is. We got time now, with your schedule being what it is for work and not always being able to record. It was hard for us to find times we both could record, and now we have that. So I'm glad we're here. Like we said, it's been a long time in the making. And we are not alone. We have a guest on this show, a guest that many people who listen to us will probably recognize. He is a member of Batman on Film. He's the main host of the Batman on Film podcast. He is Ryan Haas.
Yo.
What's up, brother?
So if you guys give it a New York flavor, what am I? Like just a guest?
It's a little bit of barbecue, right? You got a little bit of like that South barbecue? Yeah.
Sure.
A little bit of seasoning. We need a little bit of outside flavor. And you were with us at New York Comic Con last year.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I think we could safely... like the BOF East crew, Cyclosec that we do.
Yeah.
East Coast.
If Batman on Film was like a sports league, we'd be like BOF Atlantic, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like a conference. The Eastern Conference.
That's a perfect description, actually. Yeah. So as we said, we're recording this on April 13th. So we are in New York. We're kind of, I hear we're on the downslope for the coronavirus pandemic. New York City and the New York area has been hit pretty hard by the pandemic. So a really quick thank you from me to all the first responders and the nurses and doctors and everyone who's out there fighting this disease, putting themselves in the front lines. I want to thank you. Just start with a quick thank you to them.
Look, there's a reason why they have these jobs and why they take these risks, and they do it because God knows I won't and I can't. So I appreciate that and their effort and their sacrifice and all that comes with it, them being away from their families and just being at risk. So I appreciate that. And hopefully like this comes to an end and we can all be safe and sound, but they're doing their part and I appreciate everything.
Yeah. One of the reasons, not to be completely selfish or out of touch with reality, but one of the reasons I think we hope, at least us here hope, is that maybe we'll get some comic books back and maybe our comic book movies that we're waiting for, we'll officially know when we're going to see them. so I think that's one of the things. I guess I'm not trying to be disrespectful to what's going on, but you know, I think we all want some normalcy back, and I think that would be a good place, at least for us, to start.
Just have life restore back to normal. That's kind of what we all wish.
Yep. So, Ryan, what have you been doing to pass the time during the isolation and the pandemic?
Well, it's weird for me because I work from home anyway, so now it's just been me reacting to everybody else, realizing that they have to also work from home if they are working, you know, and they're not in a job that has to go out outdoors or whatever. But here in North Carolina, they've shut down everything just like most states. And like even today, they just put in some new rules where, you know, only 20% of places that are open, like in a grocery store, you can only have 20% of their capacity in the store at any one time and stuff like that. So I've just been staying indoors as much as possible to try to do my part and all that kind of stuff. And I've just been working and keeping myself busy. You know, I moved recently. I've still got a house full of stuff to do and little projects to do. And, so I've been organizing things and, you know, with my daughter, we've been rewatching Batman stuff. Like we've just been catching up on things and starting new video games and, you know, all the normal kind of stuff you would want to do if you were confined to the home.
Well, speaking of your apartment, Ryan has given us some sneak peeks. We've done some during this coronavirus pandemic. We've done some Zoom get-togethers, and Ryan has given us a sneak peek at his collection of video games and memorabilia, Batman, everything. It's well, impressive, man.
You the really standout is the black Batman Black and White. Those are the standouts of the collection.
Yeah, I mean, I've had so much stuff in boxes for years that I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to go get actual bookshelves that can actually fit this stuff. And so I've been spending a lot of time putting things together and finding the right rooms and right spaces for things. And yeah, so I finally was able to get all my black and whites out of the boxes and onto nice shelves and stuff. And if you guys have checked out the Batman on Film Instagram page, I've got a little mini review of a new Doug Monkey Batman black and white statue, and you can see all my other black and whites in the background and stuff. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite Batman collections or things that I collect other than comic books. The black and whites are just such a nice, you know, semi-affordable thing to get into, and they're just a fun, nice premium collectible line, and they all look nice to each other, and they're all different and fun and cool.
They're not overly expensive either.
They're between like $60 and $100-ish each, depending on how big or how rare they are and stuff like that. So, and they're all a different, based on the work of a different Batman artist. So you can be a collect everything kind of person, or you can be like, I just want the artist I really like, or Batman based on a story that means something to me or whatever. I've got Marshall Rogers and people will give me things for Christmas and stuff that I wouldn't normally think about or didn't know existed. Like I have the Dark Knight Returns Joker and some like the Bermejo Batman and like the Sam Keith. Everybody asks about the Sam Keith because they know it's different. They're like, what is that? Kelly Jones or something?
Everyone says Kelly Jones.
Everyone thinks it's Kelly Jones, but it's Sam Keith. I think Kelly Jones does have his own statue. That's one I should get.
I have two black and whites. I have the Michael Turner Identity Crisis Batman, which is Michael Turner's probably my second favorite artist behind Neil Adams. And I have the Harley Quinn black and white. And those are the only two I have. So I'm not as deep into it as Ryan. I like to sparingly collect something that's near and dear to me, but his collection it really dwarfs mine. I mean, I only have two.
Yeah. And all the stuff you've kept for all those years, Ryan, that's what's impressive to me. All the stuff that you've had, you know, since you were a teenager, and although it's amazing to me.
Fun is like every time I show you guys this stuff or something, one of you BOF guys picks something out of it that identifies with you, like Garrett and Ryan Lauer. We've been getting into some of the like the paper, not the comic book stuff, but like the novels, because it's like, oh yeah, there's the novelizations for all the Batman movies, and I recently got all of the Batman through Batman and Robin in hardcover. Some of those I didn't even know existed, so that's been kind of
hardcover.
Yeah, that's been kind of a fun thing to collect, is the hardcover novelizations of those Schumacher movies. And and there's even novelizations of like Mask of the Phantasm. There's two versions. There's the adult version and the kids version. So there's like different art.
Really?
Yeah, there's different authors and different, you know, the books are different lengths or whatever. And I haven't read them yet. I'm excited. Maybe that's a good pandemic thing to do, because like flipping through it, there's like some extra scenes in there. I think in the adult one, I flipped through it and there's like a scene with Dick Grayson calling in and talking to Alfred about Andrea Beaumont and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. Like extra context and stuff. So it's something I definitely want to try to get into and check off the checklist.
Yeah. We definitely have the time right now to do those extra things. Yeah. So,
well, that's what I'm, the big thing I'm doing is rewatching watching for the first time, Batman 66. You know, I've seen, because I've got the Blu-ray set back from, you know, a few years ago. I watched a lot of it, and I've watched a lot of it as a kid also, but I didn't get that far when it initially came out. I watched all the special features and then started the show, and then things got busy, and then I never really picked it back up. But now that my daughter is like 2.5 and she's getting into this stuff, she's like, that's the thing that we do when we need something to watch. She's either watching Teen Titans, the old Teen Titans cartoon, or Batman 66, and that's when I'm paying attention, is when we're watching Batman 66, and we're like halfway through season 2 right now, and it's been really fun to kind of go back and or see some of these shows I've never seen, because when they would rerun stuff, they're not going to do reruns of Ma Parker or, you know, you know, Egghead, or, well, sometimes they would do Egghead, but like with the Archer or whatever, like some of those lesser known or C-list only for the show villains, they wouldn't rerun that often. They would just rerun, you know, Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, Riddler stuff. So that's been a kind of a surprise, because it's like shows, episodes I've known existed for a long time, but have never seen. So it's like new content for the show.
One of the
Lilac.
One of the things about 66 that really like always like was so interesting to me was, outside of the Batmobile and I guess probably the Batcycle, none of the other vehicles are housed in the Batcave. You know, like you've got to go to like the pier to go to the Batboat or the Batboat, or you have to go to the airport to get to the helicopter.
It wasn't budgeted for that, and then they added it in the movie because they had the budget, and so then they just used that stock footage they shot from the movie to include it in other episodes, and so that way they cut down on like production costs by not having to actually have it on in the Batmobile or on set or whatever. And they're like, we can just cut to them going to the docks or the pier or whatever. Mm-hmm. To use the other vehicles.
And I think it's cool that Nora's watching it.
And she calls, because she calls it Batman 66.
That's
great. That's awesome.
She's already one of us.
But that's, I mean, that was my first exposure to Batman, was that show.
Well, she's got everything, right? She watches Batman 66. She's watched the Burton Schumacher movies, all of them. Which some of them, you know, whatever, I don't care. And she's watched, she likes Brave and the Bold, Batman Brave and the Bold, and particularly the Batman Brave and the Bold meets Scooby-Doo. She loves Scooby-Doo. So
of course.
Having that with Batman is like the best thing. And then, of course, the thing she probably is like the most out of everything has been the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Batman animated film, which is just amazing in terms of the way that they were able to do the character work and stuff in that animated film. But she loves
it. I've still yet to see that. I have to put that on my to-do list.
I keep telling people it's like a top five animated Batman.
It's really that good, huh?
It really is that good. Just for the characterizations alone, it's that good.
How would you rank it along with the Batman Ninja Turtles comic book run that's been out? I think that we're up to 3 volumes now.
I haven't read it.
You haven't read that? Okay, interesting.
No, we need Lauer for that one.
It's on my list. I'm waiting for. This is something. This is a Ryan Lauer question too. It's like I'm waiting for DC to release all of those in like an absolute edition. I'm like, I just want you to release a big hardcover that's got like.
That'd be fantastic if you ask me.
One through, because now they've got 3 volumes of it. Now it's ripe to do that. So hopefully they'll do that, and then I'll actually get it and read it. But I've heard the movie is based off of most of the first story in that.
The third volume is really interesting because they actually go back and bring in like the Eastman layered black and white turtles. Like it's almost like a multiverse type thing. And there's a lot of turtles. It's not just like the 4 in continuity turtles. They really dig deep in there. And it's really interesting. It's almost like a Spider-Verse type thing. Really interesting stuff. Tynan and was it Freddie Williams?
Freddie Williams.
They did a fantastic job. Artwork and story. I love Tynan. So I was all over that.
Ryan, going back to, you said Nora loves Scooby-Doo. Has she seen the episodes that he's in? Do you have those, the ones that the old cartoon? Have you seen?
The original Scooby-Doo movies, Batman? She has not seen those, but I have them. So those are definitely something that's on the...
Isn't Casey Kasem Robin?
Yes.
In those? Yeah.
Yeah, because he was Robin in the non-Scooby-Doo stuff, too. Like, you know,
the new Batman New Adventures or something like that.
If it wasn't Burt Ward, it was probably Casey Kasem. Casey Kasem and Olin Sewell is who you would have if it wasn't Adam West and Burt Ward.
Oh, man, I love those old cartoons. Me too. They're so interesting. It's just because they're not like the interpretations of the Joker and everything like that. It's even more like. Almost ridiculous than, let's say, like a Super Friends. You know, it's just the way the animation is, but the characterization.
It's this weird amalgamation between like Super Friends and Batman. They're trying to be Batman 66 in the animation,
right?
But without the pop culture and the and stuff, which comes across as like semi derivative of comics of that era, but still kind of interesting enough to kind of analyze and look at as an adult. So.
I love, you guys know this. I love Super Friends. That's what I, I used to watch when I was
I was showing you that I've been trying to get all of the Super Friends DVDs too, and I think at this point they have, you can get all of them on DVD, but man, the chronology is so out of whack.
Is it not on DC Universe?
Some of them,
I think some of them are,
but probably not all of them.
Cause they take stuff off all the time. Yeah. They just put on Batman.
I mean, there's like, I don't know what, like 10 different seasons, and they change the name every time. There's like Super Friends and Challenge of the Super Friends and Galactic Guardians and New Superpowers Team Super Show. Like there's all kinds of crazy like names, and cause they kept rebranding it and stuff. And then there's like a Batman show. Yeah, that's on DC Universe in
18. That is on DC Universe.
And it's funny to me because they don't call him Aquaman. They call him Aquaman.
Aquaman. That's what Alfred from Batman v Superman. That's what Jeremy Irons' Alfred must have watched as a kid, because that's how he says it. That's Aquaman.
Aquaman. And he never calls he calls Aqualad Tadpole. Come on, Tadpole. And I'm like, he's just calling him Tadpole? Really? It's great. I love it.
So Pete, you're the one of us who's not really working at this time. So what
true. Don't say that this is on record. Don't say that. That's not true. I'm working. I had a Zoom meeting today. How dare you say that?
My apologies. Sparingly right.
working? I'm actively working from home.
Okay.
How you can operate a scoreboard? Your
day-to-day has shifted the most, is what we're saying.
Yeah. I am working from home, so I am doing that. I have a lot of remote access to the arena, so I'm able to operate and check up on systems.
All those games people are playing there.
Well, got to make sure it works for when they do.
Yeah.
But I have been doing
that. How would they know if it's working? Because there's nobody there.
Oh, it's not true. We have two electricians on site at all times. So it's a lot of phone tag.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, I did this. Is this out there? So it's interesting. It's definitely it's an interesting way to work. We're all kind of trying to figure it out as we go along. But things are getting done over at the World's Most Famous Arena.
Yes. For those who don't know, Pete is talking about Madison Square Garden, which is where he works.
Which is right next to the Javits Center, which houses New York Comic Con and is now a temporary field hospital.
Yes.
There you go.
So
we're having a convention there right now.
Yeah. Ryan has made the walk from Penn Station to the Javits Center, which is
a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had all the glories, from a slice of pizza to some halal meat and everything in between.
So, Pete, what Batman have you been doing during this time?
Yesterday was Easter Sunday, so I actually spent it with my mother and my brother. And in my little DVD collection, I found what I forgot was a steelbook of Batman Begins. So that was cool. And I was like, oh man, I can't believe I have this. So I ended up bringing it back home with me. Yes, on Blu-ray. And I ended up watching, we watched that after Easter dinner, and that was great. But I've been buying back issues from my local comic book store, Main Street Comics in Milltown, New Jersey. They've been delivering them. I've basically been sending Mike, the owner, an email, and I bought 20 issues of Detective Comics back issues. So I have that. I'm going to read that. But yeah, I'm just trying to support the store while not actually being able to go into the store. But other than that, I mean, I've also been catching up. I caught up all on Titans.
Ah.
So I finally saw that. And I discussed this with Ryan the other day. There was an interesting point after Superboy came in for like 3 to 4 episodes where things got really weird, you know, like Dick Grayson's in prison. And you're just like,
yes.
This is the origin of Nightwing. This is very interesting. It doesn't have anything to do with Krypton or Superman.
Right.
So it's different. But I know a lot of people had issues with the final episode, and I really didn't. So it's funny because I know, Eric, you did. I was just wondering what were your problems with it now that we actually can talk about it. But I actually I like the season. It definitely went up and down for me, but I really appreciate the Superboy stuff. I think that's where it was at its best. I think the Aquaboy, the Aqualad episode was the best episode of the season.
It was very good.
Yeah. So, and I did like the suit. I liked the Nightwing suit. I thought his skirmish sticks, if I pronounced that properly, were very well executed, as well as his fighting styles. Raven's powers reminded me a lot of Ivan Ooze's. That was the only real negative for her. It looked like, you know, that purpley, bubbly stuff. But it was good. I enjoyed Starfire, but I feel like they did try to cram a lot in a season where they probably should have maybe taken it a little bit slower. I feel like we focused so much on the newer Titans as opposed to the Titans from season one, and I think they probably jumped the gun on that.
That was my issue with the finale. I thought they really squeezed a lot in, and they had to because they addressed a lot of topics during the season, but it just felt like it was very sudden. Like, it was like, bam, okay, he's Nightwing now, and bam. You know, things just happen like that.
It's like, how many episodes are in that season 13?
13?
I think so, yeah.
Or it's like all of a sudden they were like halfway through making it and they were like, what do you mean we only can do 13 episodes? What do you mean? And so they couldn't like change it. And so like they were like, oh shit, we have to wrap this up.
Although I thought the Deathstroke stuff was amazing though. Everything with Deathstroke I thought was really good, and Rose and Jericho. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in it, but my main thing that just completely threw me was what happened to Wonder Girl. I was like, what? That just was so poorly done, poorly executed. I get it,
and I understand that.
no joke. But I was just like, it just, there's clearly something going on with the story there that they're going to keep exploring, but the way it happens is just so out of left field and weird and there's no build up to it or whatever. It's just like, woo, let's just kill her off or whatever. I'm just like, okay.
The only thing I could say to defend that is historically that is Donna Troy though. Like Donna Troy is such a character that has no real origin or death. She appears, she doesn't appear. She's been so
good in the show. Like they had an opportunity to do something cool, but they
could have. But yeah, I'll give you that. The Donna Troy stuff was kind of a bummer.
Well, it looks like she's going to be being brought back to life.
Thank God.
I thought she looked great in her suit, though. I thought the suits were all good in the show, too. I thought like all the suits were great. And I even thought Beast Boy was really good. Like I wish he would turn into something as other than a tiger, but I mean, he looked good.
They made that 3D model, so it's like, you know. They don't want to make another one.
you wonder if in the future seasons they will.
They should get. They should get more.
Something. But no, like I said, most of the season I loved for all the reasons you stated, Pete. I really thought it was, for most of the season, it was well paced. I just felt like when we got to the finale, I was like, all right, they have a lot to close here. How are they going to do it? And it was very rushed to me. So it just kind of was a letdown, but most of it I really enjoyed.
I really liked the whole fish out of water thing with Superboy and everything, and how he's like the one time he tried to get the T-shirt, and the guy was like, "You need money." He's like, "I don't have money," you know. And then he sees a robbery, and the lady's like, "He tried to steal my money." He's like, "Can I have your money?" You know, he's just like, he's so clueless, and I thought it was kind of adorable in a way because he's so, you know, just out of his element. He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, his story was good.
Yeah.
His story was good.
Huh. And the guy who played Deathstroke was fantastic. I even want to say he's probably my favorite live-action Deathstroke.
Isai Morales?
Yeah. Yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah, he was excellent. And that story, that was done well too, I thought. I thought that arc was done well. Yeah, it was a really solid season. And I was worried because I liked season one, and I was worried how they were going to advance the show, and they did a good job. And we're getting a season three, so...
They seem to have like this thing where they don't end the seasons on a good episode, though.
It's true. You know? The same thing happened. Yeah.
Last season was like, the first season was like that. Last season was like that. It's like, it's a weird way to end it.
Yeah.
It's a weird cliffhanger. But the other show on DC Universe that I've been watching is the Harley Quinn show. I know you guys haven't really been keeping up on that, but I think the first season is really phenomenal.
No, it's funny. I only watched, I think, two episodes, but when we were at Comic-Con, Ryan and I saw some of the clips. I don't know if it was the first episode. Right. It might have been the second one. But yeah, we saw clips from it. They were promoting it then.
And it really fits with the tone of the Birds of Prey movie, I feel. Like, it's kind of like that's who Harley is now. It's more Deadpool than anything else. And that's kind of what this feels like. And it's a mixture of like Deadpool meets Daria is what I tell people, especially between Ivy and Harley. You know.
Pete loves Daria, guys. If you don't know Pete,
it's really good. It's like, it's, I grew up on that TV show more than Beavis and Butthead, but yeah,
TV shows, yeah,
yeah. And it just it incorporates a lot of like just who Harley is and just her rambunctiousness and just like how she's just on a whim and how Ivy will kind of be the voice of reason. And a lot of it's really cool and did some really cool interpretations with King Shark and Clayface that you don't think would work, but within the context of that show work really well. You know, Clayface is almost like a Shakespearean actor as opposed to being kind of like, you know, the actor who's, I don't know, the Hollywood hotshot who, you know, gets unlucky in some aspects, but this Clayface is something different and he's really good with comic relief. So there's definitely a lot to check out with Harley Quinn. I think the first season is really good and I highly recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, I'll continue watching it. I did like what I've seen so far, so I'll go back to it. It's weird. Before the pandemic, I would work all day because I work from home and then I'd want to go out at night. So I really wouldn't watch many things. Now I'm still working all day, but then when I get some free time, I don't want to be looking at a screen of any sort because I work. So it's kind of like I watch TV when I'm going to bed. But other than that, I'll try and read a little bit. I started reading a friend of the program, Reno D. We all know Reno. He gave me 3 Star Wars books to read. So I started reading those. They're about Thrawn pretty much. Admiral Thrawn's his favorite character. So he gave me the books. I had never read them. So I started reading them. So that's what I've been trying to do on the downtime.
I got the Rise of Skywalker novel, started it. Hoping that I'm not that far into it, but I'm excited to get, I'm doing that at the same time as doing a rewatch of the Skywalker saga because I got all those in 4K. So I'm trying to get the novel read before I make it to the actual movie.
Did this turn into a satellite show?
I think so.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steer it the wrong way. I didn't mean to turn down a Star Wars road.
In honor of the great Ricky Joshu.
And in honor of me. Hello, I'm Nick Star Wars, man.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
Spider-Man and the MCU next. Eric.
Uh-oh. Oh, jeez. No, we can't
touch all the hot topics today.
Yeah, no, not doing that. Not going there.
Do we have like 3 hours to spend?
Pete and I talk about that enough on Twitter. If you guys want.
I keep telling Pete he needs to watch the editor's cut of Spider-Man 3.
I want to. It's disc only, correct? I can't buy it.
Nope. You can get it digital.
It's on Prime. It's on Amazon Prime.
Is it? I might have to do that.
Yep, I know it's there.
The first like 40 minutes of Spider-Man 3 are damn good. You know, it all involves Sandman, you know, but it's really good stuff. After that, it goes off the rails, but the first 40 minutes are really good.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the editor's cut. I actually got it on Amazon. It's better. It is better.
It's like the difference between the theatrical and extended cuts of BVS. It's not a huge difference and the plot points are mostly the same, but like the things that are different, not in a better way or a worse way, more like a sideways way. If that makes sense, it's like, oh, there's more clarity. That's good. But not like it doesn't fundamentally make the movie like,
man, better. All I'm waiting for is my red book edition of Batman Forever.
I have that. I'm going to watch that.
I mean, like, I want Joel's version.
Like the real, I want the real version. Cut. Yeah. I would love that.
That's what I've been waiting for. Just since 1995, for anyone who's been complaining about things recently.
On that note.
95 is a long time away. The last yellow oval we ever saw in a bat suit, either.
Oh, it's okay. I have my yellow oval bat T-shirt that I wear a lot, so I try and keep it alive. I know it's near and dear to your heart, and you were upset that we did not get it from Matt Reeves.
I'm a little upset, but I'm not going to let it eat me up. You know, I mean, the guy's got a plan, and I'll trust him until he fails me.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a pretty good track record recently of his film, so I'm the same way. I haven't loved everything I've seen, but I'm sticking. I trust him that he's going to give me a good Batman movie. So speaking of that, we did have a little bit of news from Matt Reeves this past weekend. I think it was, or last week sometime. I don't exactly remember. But he said there was a report in Deadline that said he shot a quarter of the movie. And with the lockdown going on right now and them not filming anything, people were kind of worrying, like, what's the date? What's going to happen? Are they going to push back the date? We don't really have an answer on that yet. But people were talking about if he's thinking of changing anything during this time off, since he's not actively shooting and he's thinking, you know, he has time now to think about what he shot. He was thinking of changing anything. And he said, I would say that the changes really have to do with seeing the tone of this. With these scenes, we haven't done much connect to that part of the storyline. It feels like there might be an opportunity to explore some of that unexpected tone that we found. With these movies, you never have enough prep time because they're so complex and so enormous in so many ways. Now, we don't know a lot about the story, guys, but do you think he will make any changes to the script?
I mean, I think script changes are like, that's possible. But if, I mean, people like Nolan, when Chris Nolan makes, it all comes down to the type of filmmaker they are. Like, Chris Nolan makes the script and he shoots that script and he doesn't improvise or make changes or whatever. But this thing is interesting. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it is a little bit fluid for him making this movie, because it is kind of a reinvention. It is a new thing. And, I think the answer Matt Reeves gave was pretty perfect, because he kind of gets to have his cake and eat it too. Cause on one hand, yes, he spent a long time developing the story. And he said as much as, like, well, I don't really want to change the structure or anything, because I've thought about all that stuff and he's got that pretty solid. But the cool thing is that, like he said, they're able to react to the things that they've already shot. And now that they can kind of see where the movie's going and maybe figure out where to amp things up, which is, I don't know, or kind of adjust things in other scenes to kind of play off each other a little bit better with more lead time. Sometimes when they make movies, they're able to kind of do some of that on the fly, like, ooh, or they shoot more than they know that they need. And then they can kind of find the tone in the editing room. Sometimes they can take, you know, this take from this scene and that take from that scene, and they can swap things up and change the tone. But now that they've got all this context so far and their experience, and so now they can react to a little bit better. And what it will probably do, I think, is probably at the end of the day, it'll probably make a tighter movie with a more consistent tone than before. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I'm sure that topic will come up again as the movie, you know, is making its rounds when it does come out, you know, in the press and stuff.
Right. In the article, he says that, you know, it took him 2 years to work on the story, and it's a specific mystery. So, like, it's not like he didn't, like, just jump into this. I'm sure, like, he'll look at his dailies and everything like that, and he can make the proper adjustments. But I feel like Reeves is a filmmaker who – he seems very methodical. I mean, if you look at the two Apes movies he did, like, there's a lot going on in there, you know, within tone and theme and everything. It seems like he takes his work very patiently, and I'm sure if he does make adjustments, it'll be minimal. I don't think anything drastic is really going to change between when they ended filming on March 14th to whenever they resume filming in London. So I think everything will kind of stay the same, you know?
Right. Yeah. The article also mentioned that the one thing he is trying to, I guess, realize more, the other larger sequences, he says that he hasn't shot those yet. So he's trying to, he's thinking more about how those are going to happen. So I'm sure it'll stick to the script, but maybe there is a place where he'll tweak something here or there that maybe he wasn't planning on doing before, but with time to think, he'll adjust it a little bit.
Because I'm sure there's stuff in the script that's like, the Batmobile chases this car down the street, you know, and catches it. Right. And then, you know, so there's a lot, I'm sure there's places like that in the script where there's a lot of room for interpretation. So that would be interesting to see if they're able to kind of amp some of that or change or adjust it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see not only this movie, but how other if downtime will affect any of the other movies, even ones that are finished.
Yeah, I bet Patty Jenkins is like, oh my God, we should have just released Wonder Woman last November when it was originally supposed to come out, because, like, they delayed it just to have a better spot in the summer or whatever. And now that, like, it's not going to happen. It got delayed even more. So they're just like, oh man, it could have come out forever ago. It's been done for so long.
Yeah. Because creative people, your mind's always working when you're a creative person. You're always thinking of something. So say Shay, she's going through something. She might be like, oh, maybe we should have done this. Or oh, maybe we should have changed this part. So you always wonder. I always wonder how, when you have a, time, you know, now that this is unprecedented, we have this time. I wonder how any, if any of them are going to be like, well, maybe we'll change something. Maybe we'll reshoot something when we come back. Mm. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see how that happens going forward.
It's just crazy how a lot of movies have been just delayed, you know.
Yeah.
Just in general,
yeah,
like from Ghostbusters to Wonder Woman to
mine, Eric's, you know, favorite other movie franchise. Dude, Fast and Furious got delayed a whole year.
Oh, yep. Geez. Oh my god. So that's so depressing.
That whole series is just rife with these crazy like delays and stuff too. The past few movies.
What I don't get about Fast and Furious is how did they rip up Point Break and then make it into like 10 other movies? You know, Point Break never got one sequel, but Fast and Furious got a remake. Yeah, that went from bad to worse.
We're getting a new Matrix movie, new Matrix movies, new Bill and Ted, new John Wick,
new Saw. Right, Chris Rock is doing.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Spiral.
I saw the trailer for that and I was like, okay, like I didn't know what to expect.
I'm a fan of Saw, so.
I like the first two. After that, I kind of got real. I was like, I love slasher films, but Saw's a little too much for me.
I like some of the Saw movies. I haven't seen all of them, but a few of the ones that I've seen, I've liked. But Pete, you like horror, and I think all of us like horror to an extent. So
Halloween Kills, I think, got delayed too. I mean, I feel like everything. I mean, obviously with good reason, but it's just the whole world.
Spider-Man work from home.
That is
my favorite joke.
That's great.
We can't talk Spider-Man again. We're not going to
we can at least talk Venom 2, right? Like, what's going on with that movie?
It got delayed also, right? Yeah. It was supposed to come out before Morbius, but now it's going to come out after Morbius.
I was into the Morbius trailer.
Yeah, like,
it piqued my interest way more than New Mutants did.
Wait. We haven't not seen a trailer for Venom 2, have we?
No, we haven't.
Michael Keaton was in the Morbius trailer.
Yes, he
was. That makes me want to see Morbius.
Yes.
I'm the target demographic for the executive. I want to see Morbius, for the executive that was like, hey, let's get Michael Keaton in this movie for 5 minutes. That'll get some butts in seats. Well, that worked on me.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I saw like Michael Venom Keaton. Theater, so.
Well, it's clearly going to tie into Spider-Man now, so...
Yeah, I mean, which obviously, the Sony, is it the Sony like Spider-Verse is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's almost going to be Netflix like, where they're going to be like, oh, we can't say Hulk, but the green guy, you know?
Green like meanie.
Nobody could say Hulk because Universal owns Hulk. The whole thing is weird. Situation with the Hulk is weird.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And like, oh, well, they can't say Captain America, but the guy with the star in his chest and the shield.
I can't wait for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Final season is sometime this year.
I stopped watching it.
It's good.
I never thought that show was any good.
I liked it.
First two seasons were rough, but it got a lot better. It got a lot better.
It got a lot better. The Ghost Rider season was the best one.
Yeah, when they did the crossover with Thor, was it Thor? No, Captain America. When they did the crossover with Captain America Winter Soldier, that's when they really started.
Because it affected the show majorly.
Yeah. Yeah,
when they destroy S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, well, crap, what are we going to do? What are we
ages of? Yeah. that was the turning point for
them. Have you guys watched Batwoman? I've only seen the first four episodes. What have you guys thought? What did you think?
Don't ask me what I really think about Batwoman, please. I'll feel bad if I'm too critical.
Can I ask you about Gotham instead? Like, talk to me about Batwoman, for Christ's sake.
So I've watched all the CW shows except for Black Lightning, just because it wasn't the one. That was the one show that wasn't tied into anything, but now it is because of the dang crisis.
Yeah.
Black Lightning might be the best one, to be honest with you.
People keep telling me that it is, but I have so much invested in all the other 87 shows that I'm just like, oh, I can't add another show to my docket because I still need to watch Watchmen and stuff. But
yes, I do too.
But yeah, Batwoman, it's not my least favorite CW show, but it's not my favorite CW show. And you know, now that Arrow is gone, I guess it is. No, okay, so in order, in general, it's I guess Flash is my Flash. I would go rank them. I would go Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, Legends, and Legends and Batwoman flip flop just because of certain episode qualities or whatever. So, but Batwoman is like, it's good. It's fine. Like in general, it's fine. But sometimes they'll do stuff that just isn't good. Or like, I feel like Batwoman deserves better, which is as cheesy as that is to say, like sometimes they'll do stuff in episodes that just zap the common sense and cool factor out of it. Like, there's one episode where one of the characters like puts the Batwoman signal up in the sky and they're to try to call Batwoman and stuff. And, you know, I was like, oh man, Batwoman's going to get to do some cool stuff and be like, you know, like Batman or whatever. And when the bat signal shines in the sky, they're going to pan to the character that called her. And she's going to be like already standing there, like on top of the roof or like come out of the shadows or something cool. But no, what they do is like they just cut to the person and she just kind of waltzes up the stairs and comes out of the fire escape. And she's like, yeah, what's up? I'm just like, what? And out of a show like that, that was like one of the weirdest, like, come on. Like you have the cool character and you're just having them walk up the stairs through the fire escape. It's like, you were calling for me through the bat signal. I'm just like, come on. You can make Batwoman way cooler than that.
Yeah. I enjoyed the action from what I saw. I thought her fight scenes were pretty good.
The action's cool. The biggest surprise of the show is Rachel Skarsten's Alice and how, because I thought she would be, I knew she would be the big bad or whatever, but the amount that they've had her in the show has been really surprising to me and how much backstory and, you know, interaction between all the main characters that they've had with her has been really, you know, a lot more than I thought that it would be. And she just chews up the scenery, like with every episode, like she's just so good.
That's what Eric's been telling me. She's the best thing about the whole show.
Yeah.
Yep. She is the best thing about the
show. And, you know, even some of the supporting cast, like I'm starting to like more and more. Like Batwoman's like stepsister is pretty fun and Luke Fox is fun. Like it's a show that has a lot of good bones to it, but I feel like they've gotten into the kind of formulaic trap in season one where they're like, we have three story threads that need to go through the whole season and we can't ever let them get too far. So we're just going to kind of also throw like a freak of the week in there or kind of like, so you'll see a lot of the same story beats get repeated every single episode with like little to no movement on them. Uh-huh. And so that kind of stuff is a little frustrating where it feels like they're kind of spinning their wheels a little too much, but it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, I don't know if this hiatus is going to help with everything going on, but I think it's a show that will continue to get better as it goes because all of the other CW shows that happen too. I mean, they've had their own individual ups and downs, but I think this show will continue to find its identity and what they're like, what they're good at as they keep going.
Have the CW shows had any season finales or is that all halted because of the virus? I'm far behind.
They're all halted. They're all halted. They're coming back like staggered like next week and the next week or whatever. But I don't know if they're going to have, I don't know if they're going to do the whole, like some shows like Grey's Anatomy or something on what a spinoff, like, are they just like ending the season? Like that episode 20 or whatever is the last one or whatever. I don't know if they're going to do that with the CW shows. I'm not sure if they know yet.
Yeah. I tried with Batwoman. I think I'm CW'd out. I really didn't like Crisis at all.
Hmm. I heard lots of good things about it.
No. I loved the series finale of Arrow.
Yeah, that was
loved it.
That was good. But everything else I really, really didn't like. So I don't know. I haven't picked up another CW show. I'm thinking of maybe starting Black Lightning. I'll binge the first few seasons and
Dude, Black Lightning's so good.
You know what else is good? Supergirl.
That's no, it's not. God.
You gotta get past season one. Season two really picks up.
No, really
my other two. Favorite CW show is Whose Line Is It Anyway? Love that show.
Nothing will beat Flash season two. That's the best CW season ever. Sorry, that's me though.
Flash season two,
yeah.
Flash season two was excellent.
Zoom, fantastic.
I love it. Arrow season two is also fantastic. Yes,
Arrow season two was also fantastic.
Hopefully, we'll get. I don't know when, but we're supposed to get info sometime when these new shows are supposed to get like greenlit or whatever. We're supposed to get the Superman and Lois show.
Yeah.
Are we going to get the Arrow spinoff, the Green Arrow and the Canaries spinoff? That could be cool.
What about the Diggle Green Lantern? Is that ever going to come to fruition?
I hope so. They're very coy about it, but because I think they have to be. I think it seems
going like, HBO Max.
Yeah, it seems like if anything, it's going to be part of the HBO Max stuff. But I guess we'll see what happens.
There was news around Superman and Lois recently.
Yeah, they were doing casting and stuff.
Yeah, Emmanuelle Crickey from Entourage. She played Sloane on Entourage. If you guys watched that show,
no,
she's playing Lana Lang.
Ooh.
And Dylan Walsh, who was on Nip Tuck. I don't know if you guys ever saw Nip Tuck.
No.
He's been in other things.
Dexter.
Too. But he was cast as General Lane. So there we go.
Like, wait, whoa. There already is a General Lane.
He was in
season one of Supergirl on that other network. Maybe they can explain it away. Like, oh, you know, when the world shifted, he looks different. Like this other dude.
Yeah, that's true. With the crisis, everything's new.
What about Jimmy? Is Jimmy Olsen going to make an appearance? Is there any word on that?
I doubt it because he's left the show. He's left Supergirl.
Oh, he left.
They actually wrote him out of the show early on this most recent season, but they did it in a really cool way where he was like, I'm tired of being Guardian and like super awesome and like the CEO of this like media empire. I gotta go back to help the little guy or whatever. And they made it pretty pretty natural.
Okay.
With him, and because like they show him like going to this town, I think that he used to live in, and he's like, I'm gonna take over the newspaper and you know help get back to what I used to be good at and help the little guy and stuff like that. So it was really cool. But then they introduced his sister out of nowhere, and I'm like, well, where is this going? And then now she's kind of replaced him as that kind of that character slot has kind of swapped.
Okay. Interesting.
And they've had her tie in, and they've had her tie into some of the like what some of the same stuff that the Big Bad is tied into also. So that's been interesting.
I really wish I still liked the shows. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I mean, the only one that I don't enjoy, I can't. You know what? I would say Legends, but I just put Legends on a completely different wavelength because I know it's the weird goofy one. It's like I keep saying this, it's like the comic book, it's like when you go to the comic book store on the fifth week and all the regular books aren't out and they're like, gosh, we got to publish something this week, let's do this some weird wacky thing that will grab your attention and then you'll just spend money on it or whatever. That's what that feels like. It feels like the DC grab bag of goofy stuff. Okay. And it kind of works, but it's not one that is my favorite. And they recently just wrote off Brandon Routh's Adam off the show too. So like there's another good part of the show that's not there anymore. So
I'd love for Brandon Routh to get his own Superman show. I originally was kind of hoping for that, but I'll take the title.
Yeah.
As a defender of returns.
Yeah, that's, I think that ship has sailed with Brandon Routh. He was good in Crisis. I did enjoy his.
That was fun.
At least he got another shot. You know, I mean,
yep.
Val Kilmer can't even say that.
Poor Val Kilmer.
This is true. This is a good point.
Probably, you know what?
And he wouldn't have fit in Batman and Robin though, which is weird to say.
Neither did anybody else.
No, they all fit perfectly for what they were going for.
He did not fit.
You know what? It's funny. We just watched the second Mr. Freeze episode in Batman 66. You know, like you get like three different Mr. Freezes, which is kind of cool.
Doesn't one have hair?
I think the third one does. Yeah. I think the Eli Wallach does. But we just watched the second one, which is Otto Preminger, and it's like, wow, this is a really like Arnold Schwarzenegger, prerequisite almost, because he's like this. He's like this German dude. He's like, you know, nice to see you. Cool. Like he's, I mean, he's just, it's like, wow. It's like literally, it's like they took the, that version of the character from the 60s show specifically. And, just made him bigger budget and Schwarzenegger. So there's precedent. There's precedent. That's what was interesting about it. So
they knew exactly what they were doing in Batman and Robin. It just wasn't good. They tried to make a modern 66. That's exactly what they tried to do.
So they didn't, but that's what I mean. That's why I say Clooney didn't fit. They just picked a really bad lead actor to play Batman.
I think Clooney could be
a great actor.
He is a great actor. Yes.
It was just ill conceived. Like it was the wrong movie to make. That's a very talented group of people.
He's a more serious actor to me.
He could have been a great Batman.
Yes, he could have been.
The movie that sold Schumacher on Clooney was From Dusk Till Dawn. And how does that guy fit in your Batman movie? You know? Like, that's not that Batman. He's not nearly that dark.
Quentin Tarantino's actually good in that movie as an actor.
He is.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Ryan? I'm sure you have.
That's one I have not seen.
Oh, really?
Robert Rodriguez movie, right?
Yeah,
I've seen a lot. It's weird. My filmography with him is spotty. I've seen a lot, but not all of them.
Harvey Keitel.
Yep.
It's a crazy vampire movie.
Salma Hayek. Yeah, it's good. It's very good. It's weird, but it's good. I enjoy it.
I think Danny Trejo and Tom Savini are in it too. Like, there's a lot of people in there. Like, oh, okay, this person's in here. This person's in here. Like, holy cow.
I know. It's true. Like, you watch that movie now, and I'm like, oh, look at that. Look who that is. Like, you say that to yourself. So.
Oh, the 90s.
Yep.
Oh, the 90s were great.
Well, I think that's it, fellas.
We did it.
Under an hour.
Yes, we were under an hour. We covered a plethora of topics for our first show, so I'm happy about that. I hope to have you back again, Ryan, sometime in the future.
Sure.
Have you back on the show. Pete, we definitely need to do more of these.
I'd love to. It's kind of like a little Batman coffee talk, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and whatever.
Next time I'll actually make coffee.
Or you get bourbon, whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that would be me. I'm bourbon. I'd be the bourbon guy. I'd be drinking that. So, all right. Do you guys have anything to plug? Ryan, you have anything to plug?
Oh, just follow me on Twitter at @SMB_Ryan and the Batman Podcast Network at BatPod Network.
Okay. Pete?
You can follow me on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Vero at Pete Illustrated. I also have a Batman pop review up on the Batman on Film YouTube channel, reviewing the Gordon Batman end scene from Batman Begins. And it's a pretty cool little desk toy with a light up bat signal. So take a look at that. It's a pleasurable way to spend 10 minutes on quarantine.
Thank you, Pete. And for me, guys, you can find me on Twitter at FinalE33. It's spelled Finale33. And you can find me there to argue with me about politics or Batman or music or Spider-Man and whatever you want to talk about. I always enjoy the conversation, so hit me up over there. So for Ryan Haas and Peter Vera, I am Eric Holzman. Thank you for listening. See you next time.